How are we doing? Good. Good, good, good. Give another round of applause for the band. They're great. So, tonight, once I get sorted, I am going to tell you a bit of a story. But first of all, guys, I just want to say, listen up for this part when I'm speaking. Try not to go to the toilet or anything. There'll be time after to go to the toilet. But listen up to what I'm going to say. So I want to tell you of a story that happened to me about a year ago, about April time. And it's the story of my first serious injury playing football. And it was a broken bone. First broken bone. Any broken bones people have had? Yes. So, never broken a bone before, but it's a training night. It's a normal Thursday night. I'm off to training. Pack my bags and go. And in the middle of the session, I go in for this tackle in football. I go in for this 50-50 tackle. And the impact takes me in mid-air. My whole body's in the air. And obviously, natural stupid me puts my wrist down first. And it's all downhill from now. The wrist lands on the floor first, sort of, and then my body goes over the top. It's not nice at all. And I sort of sat there and going, that was sore. That was really sore. And then got up, tried to walk back in the train and felt like I was going to faint. And then I was like, coach, give me 5 minutes here. Went up to the sports center. They give me some ice to put on the wrist. I put the ice on the wrist for 10 minutes. And let me tell you, when I took the ice off my wrist, there was bones popping at different places. And it did not look like a wrist anymore. And that was my first broken bone. So I ring Ben up. I'm like, Ben, I need to go to the hospital. I've broken my wrist. He's like, okay. Gets me in the car, off the hospital. I've then got a phone, Ruth, and my mum back home in Belfast saying I'm at hospital. It's like the worst phone call a parent wants to get. But I phoned them, tell them. They panic a little bit, but they're okay. But then they put it in cast, and the next day they say, go up and get an x-ray or an MRI scan. And the Friday happens. Now, the Friday's the part of the story. So I get up. I'm like, this will be easy. I go to St. Mark's Hospital in Maidenhead for 7:30 in the morning. It'll be quick. I'll be out there by 9 o'clock. So I get some breakfast in at 7:30, and they're like, no, we're not doing x-rays and MRIs today. Oh, cheers for that one. So I get up. Ben drives me to another hospital in Slough. I go off to that one, and then he needs to go off to work. So I'm waiting in Slough, and I'm waiting for my name to be called for the doctor to see me, and he'll decide whether I need an operation or not on my wrist. So I'm waiting for my name to be called. I'm waiting. And then I'm starting to play games in my head now. And you know when you're sitting, you know, like in hospital, in A&Es, you're just people everywhere. And I start looking, and I'm like, them shoes do not match that person. Do you ever play that game? They're like, them shoes, like a granny walking around with Nike Airs, and it's like, no, that does not match. So I'm playing games with myself. I'm waiting for my name to be called. So the doctor finally calls me, and he has a look at it for about 5 minutes, and he's like, I need to go speak to one of my other colleagues to have another look at it. I was like, okay. So another wait, waiting for my name to be called again. This time, I'm just playing games again. I'm like starting to name people. You know when you're like, he definitely looks like a David. Or he definitely looks, or a wee granny's walking past and you're like, all right, Barbara, that's definitely a Barbara. I'm starting to play these games, waiting for my name to be called. The doctor finally gets a colleague and he's like, you need to go to this other hospital now. In Reading. So I go to that other hospital. They put me in the back of an ambulance, take me off there, and again, I'm waiting for my name to be called, waiting, Jamie Mitchell, and then I go. I'm starting to get hungry at this stage, and if anybody knows me well, I love to eat, and I'm starting to get hungry and starting to get moody. Get the MRI scan. They take me back to the ambulance, and if things couldn't get any worse, my phone dies. Oh, you know it. You're in school and your phone dies. It's awful. It's a nightmare. But I'm going back to the hospital. They give me a phone charger and then get some food, which was good, and got back. And what started, I thought we'd be home by about 9 a.m. was sort of 7:30 to 6:30. Ben and Stuart came and picked me up, and it was the day of just waiting and waiting and waiting for my name to be called all day. And I want to ask, maybe you've been in hospital or the dentist, and you've been waiting for your name to be called, yeah? So you're waiting, waiting, waiting. Or Starbucks, you're like, they ask you what your name is, and you make up this name, you're like Bob, and they're like, Bob's Mocha Frappuccino here, ready? And you're like, no, that's not me, but anyway, we'll go for it. And you wait and wait and wait for your name to be called. And the question I want to ask tonight is, what are you called for in life? Maybe you ask yourself the question, what am I actually here for? What am I called to do or be? And I'm going to talk about the day that Jesus was ultimately called for. So Jesus was this man born to Mary and an earthly father, Joseph. He grew up, he was a carpenter, he was a normal man, lived in a normal town. And he lived for 33 years, but there was something special about Jesus. See, he was sent by God. He was God in human form. He was God in human form here on earth. And many people don't believe Jesus existed. They're like, Jesus doesn't exist. I'll tell you, many theologians, historians, even atheists have said they may not believe in God, but there definitely, definitely was a man named Jesus who lived here on earth. I want to ask, who likes history here in school? A couple of historians in here likes history. Well, I'm going to tell you about one of the greatest moment in history there has ever been and will ever be. The most mind-blowing, the most important, the best moment to ever happen in history. And this event is probably told in churches every single year. See, Jesus was a man who lived. He had done nothing wrong. All he had done was good. He had done miracles. These religious leaders were jealous of what he was doing. They didn't like the people were starting to follow Jesus and not follow them. So Jesus, who had lived these 33 years, the religious leaders wire the Roman officers off and say, this man's doing wrong. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They were jealous of him. And the Roman officers take Jesus. They give him the most brutal torture and hang him on a cross. And as he's on that cross and breathing his last breath, he says these three of the most amazing words in the whole of the Bible. He says, it is finished. It is finished. They may sit there going, what's finished? What's actually finished? Jesus' time on earth, the day he was called to, was done. His calling was done. It is finished. And we live as sinners. Jesus, who lived this perfect life, had done nothing wrong, took miracles, takes the sins that we have done, the world has done, upon himself to pay the price for what we deserved. We deserve to be up there, but this perfect man, Jesus, takes the sin upon himself and pays the price for us. And what happened then as Jesus died was just amazing. An earthquake shook the whole city as soon as Jesus died. And the earth went into complete darkness at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Like, that just doesn't happen on a normal day. But when Jesus dies, this happens. But the good news is, so 3 days later, Jesus rises from the dead. He appears over a time to over 500 people. People couldn't believe this. But everyone said, yes, I've seen a man. It was definitely Jesus. Death was defeated and Jesus had conquered the grave. Jesus had conquered the grave. Now, maybe you've heard me tonight say about Christians and I'll tell you that living a Christian is the best life. And I'm going to ask two of the youth here. I've asked them to share why they think being a Christian is the best life.
So one reason why I think being a Christian, living as a Christian, is the best life is because of the tranquility and but also excitement you feel when you worship God, and also the friends that you make and the people who you can talk to about the same stuff that you believe in. It's just like really nice to share that with other people, as well as feeling excitement but also peace within yourself.
That's good, Grace.
So I think what makes being a Christian the best life is that you just find peace where you can find it. You can't find it anywhere else. It's just a particular peace that's just something you can't explain. It's just you have a sense of belonging and purpose to life, and that's just really peaceful to me. It just knows that I'm loved by someone for forever. Like, it's just something I can't explain. It's just...
That's amazing. That's amazing. A couple of things I just want to pick up on there. James said a purpose. A sense of purpose to live here on life. A sense of belonging. Grace said a sense of excitement and worship. It's the best life. But I'm going to share now, just as Jesus was about to leave earth, he gathers his disciples round and says these words. It's going to be up on the screen as well. He says this to his disciples. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Therefore, go and make disciples. Those disciples were called to go and do their job. And for those who maybe know, I'm a big NFL fan. That's American football. And I'm a big New England Patriots fan. Woo woo! Tom Brady and the Patriots. And a few seasons ago, we get into the Super Bowl, which is like the American football grand final. It's the final game. It's like the World Cup final for the Americans. But they had this motto for the team and all the fans. This coach said this motto to the players, and it sort of got out, and the fans and everything jumped on it. They had it across banners, across cars, and wristbands, t-shirts. And the motto was this. It said, do your job. There's a picture of some of the fans. That was our motto. It was, do your job. It was, do your job. And that was what the disciples done as well. They have done their job. Now it's our time. Now it's our time to do our job. Jesus called them disciples that day to go and make disciples. Now they have done their job for their time. Now Jesus calls us to be disciples and to go. And when I say go as disciples, that doesn't mean go off to this native country and you have to suffer and everything. It simply means go and be a disciple where you are at the minute. In your class, in your sports team, in your family, you're called to be a disciple there. Choosing to go means obeying God. Now, these disciples who Jesus called weren't 50 years old, had these university degrees, didn't know the Bible off by heart, didn't spend 7 hours a day praying. They had just spent time with Jesus. And it says, it actually says in Acts, I think we've got the verse. It says in Acts, the council members were astonished. So these were the people listening to the disciples as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John, who were disciples, especially when they discovered that they were just ordinary men who had never had religious training. Then they began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time with him. And that calls for us. We don't have to know the Bible off by heart, but it is crucial for us as disciples to spend time with Jesus. And it says that they were witnesses. And what a witness basically means is we are called to tell people about Jesus and tell them of the experience we've had with Jesus. See, Jesus called his disciples to go. And maybe you sit there going, why should we go? Why should we go? Because it's our time and it's our job. And if we want to obey God, we have to go. These disciples went and told other people about Jesus, that their sins were forgiven, that they were freed. And they became followers of Jesus, the people they told. And it had this effect, it had this ripple effect. And for us as Christians tonight, we are part of that ripple effect. So let's not make it stop. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Put your hand up if you have a friend or family member or someone in your heart you would just love to see become a follower of Jesus. There's a lot of people in here who have people on their heart that they would love to see become a follower of Jesus. That person is on your heart and in your life for this time. You are called to be a disciple to them for this time. So go. There's people in here who were witnesses in school and are here because of a result of that. Millie was a witness in her school to her friends and to her friend Molly. Molly came along here to JY Live in January and gave her life to Jesus that night. Millie didn't make Molly a Christian, but was a witness to her, was a disciple to her. And it has this ripple effect. Now, maybe you've invited people along here and they haven't become Christians. Or you've been saying, Jamie, I've been praying and this person just not moving at all. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't give up. Do not give up. Keep going. Keep going. Because the devil wants you to stop, but God wants you to say, keep going. Keep going. There was a girl in my youth group back home in Belfast. And she became a Christian when she was about 14, 15. And she prayed for her family to get saved. They weren't Christians, but she prayed for her family that they would ask Jesus into their heart and become Christians. 5 years of praying, 5 years, and her dad came along to church and gave his life to Jesus. 2 years after that, her sister, twin sister came and gave her life to Jesus. And now she's leading another youth ministry in Belfast. And that girl is still praying for her mum to get saved. And she's not giving up because God is faithful. She's not giving up. I'm going to ask Martin to jump up here. So this is all well and good, but it calls for a response. You may think, Jamie, that's all well and good, but how am I meant to be a witness in school? Like, have you seen the people in school? How am I meant to be a witness? I'm going to give you an example. Last week, last Saturday, I had a football match in Reading, and I was picking one of my teammates up, picking the captain up, and we traveled down together, chatting away about football, and we got to the game one, and on the way back, I just brought up the conversation. I just said, oh, what are you up to tonight? He says, oh, I'm just hanging out with my girlfriend tonight. And then I says, oh, what are you up to tomorrow? And he says, oh, probably just chilling. You know, I've got a busy week this week. And then he asked me, what am I doing? And I said, I'm going to church in the morning. And he asked me, do you go to church every morning, every Sunday morning? And I said, yeah, I try to get along most Sunday mornings. And then I asked him, have you ever been? No, but I used to go at this time. And I found out this guy was an atheist, but was able to answer some of his questions, and this conversation went up pretty much the whole way home. We have these opportunities. We have these conversations in school. And we have God who's on our side. One of the verses I think we skim over and can overlook is Romans 8:11. It says this: the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It lives in you, Emily. It lives in you, Callum. It lives in you, PJ. The same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you when you go into school on a Monday morning, or when you go to your sports teams, or go home to your family tonight. When Joshua in the Bible was leading the Israelites across the River Jordan, Joshua was worried. He was a bit afraid. God countless number of times says these words: be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. 365 times in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And one of them says, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God says you can when you say I can't. God says you can when you say I can't. So what are we going to do? Are we going to go? Who's going to be a witness in First Platt? Or Desborough? Or Newlands? Who's going to be a disciple at Westgate? Or BCA? Or Borlase? Who's going to be a witness in Wickham? Or Piggott? Or Leighton Park? Who's going to be a witness at Great Marlow? Or Altwood? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to go into your schools and be a witness and be a disciple for Jesus? And I'm finishing up soon. But I want to finish of a guy when he met God in the Bible. When Isaiah met God in the Bible, God appeared to him and said, called out, who will go as my messenger to these people? Who should I send as a messenger to these people? Who will go for us? Who will go? God calls out, who will go? And Isaiah replies with these words: here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. This calling to go can be uncomfortable, but living for God shouldn't be comfortable. But it is the best life ever. Being a witness to our friends, seeing them become followers of Jesus, doing life with them. This is living life to the fullest. And I'm going to respond in two ways here. First of all, for those who are here tonight who aren't followers of Jesus, who aren't Christians, I want to ask, you've heard tonight about the great thing Jesus done, that he took the sins of you, your sins, upon himself who had done no wrong, and paid the price for you, what you deserved. Now you may be thinking, Jamie, there's no chance God would accept me. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've thought, no matter where you've been, no matter what, Jesus still loves you. He has unconditional love for you. And he decided to pay the price for you. And all he wants you to do is accept him and begin a relationship with him. So if everyone wants to close their eyes, I'm going to pray a prayer, and maybe you want for the first time tonight, or come back, become a follower of Jesus. I'm just going to say, just pray this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you for dying on that cross for my sins. I am sorry, Lord, for the things I have done wrong. And I ask that you would forgive me. I pray, God, that you will come in my life tonight as I choose to live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer tonight, I want to ask you to come and see one of the leaders afterwards. We'd love to have a chat with you. But I'm going to respond for those who feel they're called to go. Are you willing to reply like Isaiah is? Jesus, or God, is calling out to you. Who will go as my messenger? Who will go? Are you willing to say, here I am, send me, for your school, for your sports team, for your family? Here I am, send me. Now, this won't be everybody, but if you want to respond tonight saying, here I am, God, send me, I just want you to stand. If you want to reply to God saying, here I am, send me, I just want you to stand to your feet. It won't be everybody, and don't feel forced to. And Martin's just going to play in the background here with the band. And what's going to happen is we're going to get the leaders at the front here. And just come up when you're ready. And we'd love to pray for you tonight as you be bold and courageous, saying, here I am, send me.